For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, December the 28th, 2002. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher.
Seek me with all your heart and soul. Seek me and you will find me. And yea, I shall open your eyes that you can behold me. And yea, I will instill into you knowledge that you might know of me. And the eyes of your understanding will be opened. And then you will know what is my good and perfect will for thee. So seek me, children, for I am close by. I am not far off. I am a God that is near to you. And yea, I shall touch thee, and I shall speak to thee, and I shall speak to thee, and open up thy eyes, if thou will but listen to my still, quiet voice, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Would you all stand with me in prayer, please? Come, Lord Jesus. Just come, Lord. Come, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you, and we bless you, and we glorify you, Lord. Lord, we just rebuke the spirit of stupor now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, we bind him. We bind all the interfering spirits in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to open our eyes that we might see you, and our ears that we might hear you, Lord God. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that the word will go down into our hearts and we will have understanding, and the evil one shall not steal it from us. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. We give you the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
It says in the Word of God that the evil one, that the word that is cast on the stony places, on the hard path, that the birds come and devour it. And Jesus said it was when the evil one comes and steals it away on the hearts of those who don't understand it. And so pray for understanding. Did you get it focused? I just want to just focus it for me, and then I just want to, I won't use it. I just want to point out something on it when I get it. Will it come down any further? Oh, it's got a motor on it? I mean, high tech. That's good. Just cut it off. I'll turn it on when I need it. Right there. Okay. Thank you. I want to talk to you today about religious spirits, a particular religious spirit that comes in from rebellion. It's called the deaf and dumb spirit. And I want to show you the manner. First we'll talk about it, what's said about it, the deaf and dumb spirit. We'll start with what's said in the New Testament. Then I want to go back and show you prophecy where it was prophesied that this religious spirit would settle on the Hebrew people and close their eyes. And then God promised that then after the fulfillment for the coming of Jesus, that it would be opened, their eyes would be opened. But for those who stay in rebellion, that spirit will stay upon them, and they cannot see, and they cannot hear. Now that is basically what we're going to cover today. If you'll open your Bibles, you know that to be deaf means not to hear, and to be dumb means not to be able to speak. Okay, let's look at Matthew 9:32. Matthew 9:32 says, Jesus passed by there, and there was a man. That can't be the right one. I'm looking at 9:32. I wonder how I got that. Lord, what is wrong here? No. Okay, I'm looking at Matthew 9:9. No wonder it didn't make sense to me. Praise the Lord. And he said, and then behold, there went out a man who was mute, which means he can't talk, and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multiplied. And then we look at Matthew 12:22. Yeah, Matthew 9:32. And we're going to look at Matthew 12:22 now. And they brought to him one demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Okay. Now look at Matthew 15:30. And so the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now let's look at Mark 7:32. And they brought to him one who was deaf and had impediment of speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside and put his fingers in his ear and spat and touched his tongue. And he sighed and said to him, be open. And immediately the ears were opened and the bond of his tongue was loosed, or the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Now that's an interesting word there. That word impediment or string or bond, that's only used twice in the New Testament. The other place it's used is the woman who had the spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over, and he said this bond, this woman should not be loose from this bond. And that word literally means a puppet string. And so when you want to know where does it say in Scripture that you can have strings attached to you, here it says that. Like a puppet string that will manipulate you. But that's, I just threw that in for good measure there. Let's look at Mark 19:17. Mark 9:17. There's no 19. 9:17. And he said, and they brought to him, and one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I have brought my son who is a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. The gnash becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Now, this is all, you all recognize this as a child who has epilepsy. And so, look at verse 25. And Jesus saw the people coming together and rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And so here we have associated with this spirit, a spirit of epilepsy. And then we have one that throws him into the fire and water, destroy him, a spirit of suicide, a murder, a death. And had been with him for a long time. And he's been with him from childhood. And when the spirit came out, it convulsed him, and he lay as if one dead. And, well, where does it say you can be struck with a mute spirit from God? Let's look in Luke, verse 20. Verse chapter 1, verse 20. And here we're speaking of Zacharias. He says, behold, you shall be mute, not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you do not believe my words. There the angel Gabriel is speaking to the priest Zechariah. He's told him that his wife is going to have a child in her old age, and they're going to name him John, John the Baptist. And he said, we're both old. How could this ever happen? He said, well, you're going to be mute until it happens, because you didn't believe me. And you know that when he wrote on the slate, they wanted to name the child Zacharias after his father. And he said, no, he took the slate and wrote his name as John. And when he did that, then his tongue was loosened and he prophesied and glorified God. And so, now, let's look back at Isaiah chapter 6. And here in this chapter, Isaiah in the temple has seen the Lord high and lifted up. When his train filled the temple shook. And he was afraid, and he said, I have seen the God of glory. And he's going, and then he heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isn't that interesting? God says, who will go for us? For the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. That plural pronoun is also used in John 14:23, where he said, I will love you and the Father will love you and we will come and make our abode with you. Or in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Okay. And he said in verse 9, he said, go and tell this to the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the hearts of this people dull and their eyes heavy. Their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand their heart, and return and be healed. Here God is saying he's going to send a deaf and dumb spirit on the people of Israel because of their rebellion. Now, let's look at Isaiah 29:12. He says, then a book is delivered to one as who... is, well, let's look at verse 11. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, read this. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, read this, please. He says, I am not literate. Therefore the Lord says, insomuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me, and their fear toward me is taught by commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will do a marvelous work, a strange work. That's a strange work, work that is not usually what God does. And then Derek Prince says that word it should be translated marvelous, should be transferred strange, because it's a work that God does not accustomedly do. I will do a strange work among his people, a strange work and a marvelous. For the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent man shall be hidden. And those who seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, their works are in the darkness. Who sees us? Who knows us? And so we come on down to verse 18. He says, in that day, the death. He says, well, verse 17, yet for a little while till Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall be esteemed a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book. The eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity, out of darkness. The humble shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among the men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing, and the scornful one is esteemed. And all who watch for iniquity are cut off. Who make man an offender by word, lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and turn aside the just by empty words. There God is promising that he's going to do a strange work. And after this, he is going to redeem his people. And they're going to hear. And they're going to understand. And he emphasizes this more. It's the promise of restoration is coming. And then in verse, in chapter 35, he said, the wilderness, chapter starting with verse 1, the wilderness shall become a wasteland. The wilderness and the waste shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of God. This is restoration. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the weak knees. To those who of fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, and the water shall pour forth in the wilderness, and the springs in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land shall spring, and the inhabitants of jackals shall lay, and there shall be grass and reed. Now a highway shall be there, and it shall be called a highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall be for others who walk the road. Though a fool, he shall not go astray. No lion. Who's the lion? Walks around like a raving, a roaring lion to devour you. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast, no demons, shall be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So there is a time coming, Isaiah says, when God is going to restore his people. And that time was the coming of Jesus. That was the time of restoration. When you could come out of rebellion and your ears would be open and you would hear the voice of the Lord, and your eyes would be open and you would see, and your understanding would be opened, and the highway of holiness will open forth. And the devil shall not walk on the, shall not bother you on the highway of holiness. And no demons shall come up on the highway of holiness. As you walk forth, you walk out and into the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, there are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom for now, and there's a coming kingdom when Jesus will come and reign for 1,000 years. And those of us hope that we can walk into that kingdom, that in the blinking of an eye we shall be transformed. If not, then we shall come back with Jesus when he comes. But Jesus said that that highway is, but that's the coming kingdom. The kingdom of God today is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness we've been imputed from Jesus Christ. We have his righteousness. But peace, shalom, health, wholeness, serenity, prosperity, and fullness. The peace of God. Jesus said, my peace I give you. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace I give you now. Jesus, this is prophesying that to come forth in your life. When the deaf and dumb spirit does sleep away from you. Okay, praise. Ezekiel 12:2. Ezekiel 12:2, what does it say? Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and ears to hear, which does not hear. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity and go into captivity by day in their sight. Rebellion today brings you into bondage. It says that God says, hear my voice, incline your ear to my word, and live not in the vain imaginations of your own heart. Be not rebellious, but turn to me. Well, what does it say in the New Testament? Let's look at Matthew 13:14. Matthew 13 says, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is filled. Well, let's start back up here. Verse 11, where he was speaking to his apostles. He says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them has not been given. For whosoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. For in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts turn, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but not hear, did not hear it. What's he saying there? He's saying that he speaks to the people in parables, so they won't, the ordinary people won't understand what he's saying, but the apostles understood it. And I've heard this expounded by a number of people, and they can't believe that God would shut the eyes so these people couldn't hear and couldn't understand, because if they did hear and understand, they would turn and he'd have to heal them. Well, this was given to Jesus, was speaking before the crucifixion. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, it says that if the rulers of this age had known the truth of the gospel, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. And what would have happened if Jesus had not been crucified? We'd all still be in our sin. Therefore, he closed their eyes. The devil didn't understand what he was doing when he crucified the King of Glory. He thought he'd won. You know, he was shocked when Jesus came out of the grave. He was shocked when he realized that Jesus, by the sacrifice of his sinless blood, his perfect sacrifice, had washed away the sins of the sons of Adam and left him in rebellion. Now understand this. Can't you hear the devil standing before God right now and saying, yeah, I know, Lord, I got in a fight with you in rebellion, I lost. And I see that pit of fire over there that you prepared for me. Matthew says, he says, into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I see that pit over there that you, I know that I'm going over there. But that man down there you love so much, Adam, he rebelled too. You're a righteous God. You can't put me in there unless you put him in there. Now, God, when he created man, knew this would happen. So he had a plan. It wasn't plan B. It was a plan before the foundation of the earth. He sent Jesus Christ to redeem us. And that was the reason they sent the deaf and dumb spirit. Because of their rebellion, it had come upon them. Now, men that stay in rebellion against God and will not hear him, will not hear his voice, or read his word and believe it and obey it, are open to the deaf and dumb spirit, which is a religious spirit. Very proper. Worships, praises, praise. God said, take your sacrifice. I'm through with you. I don't want any more of your sacrifices. I don't want to hear any more of your prayers. Stay out of my courts because you're rebellious. And these are religious people. Remember, the religious people crucified Jesus. You think you're zealous to keep the law. I tell you, there's no more zealous person for their God in this world than an Orthodox Jew. He'll put you to shame. I remember the story told in my hometown about the Assembly of God came to town. And they bought this little house, and they started having church in the house. And they were rather loud in their worship. And, of course, there wasn't any air conditioning in the 40s and the 30s. And so they opened the windows. And everybody within a block could hear them worshiping God. And all these nice religious people decided that those people were too noisy. And they circulated a petition. They went first to the zoning people and said, can we get rid of those folks? They were disturbing our peaceful neighborhood. And the zoning commission said, yes, if you can get everybody around you to sign a petition, the best way to do it is get everybody around you to sign a petition. And if we can get everybody around you saying you're too noisy, then we can close it down and make a movie. And so the first thing they went to was this Orthodox Jew across the street from them who owned a local clothing store. And they told him what they wanted, and he said, now, wait a minute. Let me get something straight. You want to get rid of those people because they're too noisy. Said, that's right. He said, now, I'm going to tell you something. Those people think that they have found their Messiah. And they are very noisy in proclaiming it. But I'm going to tell you something. I find my Messiah. I'll put them to shame. I'm not about to sign any such petition. And the church stayed. They thought he'd be the first one to sign. I mean, you hear a bunch of true Orthodox Jews get together and praise God. I mean, they put you to shame. You get the author, you get the charismatic, you get the Baptist from Russia praising God. They put us to shame. Ever heard of charismatic Baptist? Pentecostal Baptist? Ain't no other kind in Russia. Africa? Why? Because they depend on the Holy Spirit to feed them, that's why. And protect them and deliver them. Praise God, let's go on. I'm getting away. But and so he said, he deceived, he allowed this spirit of deception to deceive them so they would crucify the King of Glory. It says the same thing in Mark 4:11 and Luke 8:10, in case y'all want to read it. Let's turn over to Acts 28:26. In Acts 28:6, Paul speaks of this. And he's speaking to the Jews who've come to him in Rome and refuse to believe. And he says, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear but not understanding, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their ears and hear with their eyes, understand with their hearts turned, and I would heal them. And there he is quoting the prophecy from Isaiah 6:9-10. Now let's look over in Romans 11:8. Starting with verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it. That's you. The chosen. Elect, the chosen of God. And the rest were blinded, just as is written. God has given them a spirit of stupor, that their eyes should not see and their ears should not hear to this very day. And so Paul says that spirit is still there. And it is a religious spirit, very religious. And it will keep you from hearing God as long as you stay in rebellion. Well, how do you stay in rebellion? You follow the dictates of your own heart. You decide what you think you ought to do. Let's look at Isaiah 30:1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord. And we are back at rebellion. Who take counsel, but not of me. In other words, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Who devise a covering, or you can say plans there, if you want to, Or you can take the Hebrew and say, weave a web, a spider web, but not of my spirit, that they might add sin to sin. When you decide what you think is good, but you decide, you say, well, so God said you're supposed to go out and save souls. Did God ever tell anybody that he didn't want them to go down someplace and witness the gospel? I'm asking you a question. Did God ever say to anybody, don't go down there and witness?
Yes.
Where?
He said to Paul not to go to the East.
Not to go to Ephesus. Not to go into Asia. That's right. He said the Spirit of Christ prevented them from going into Ephesus. Now, Paul could have said, well, my Lord, you know there are folks down there that need the Holy Ghost, need to be saved. They're just all kind of people, and it's always your will. And I'm going to go down there. I'm just not hearing you right. I'm going to... And if he had, he would have been in today what we call a difficult missionary field. Because, you know, it is very difficult to get anybody saved without the Holy Ghost. He wanted to go up to the Bithynia, but the Spirit forbade them and sent them over to Thessalonica, to the Macedonian call. And so, when we devise plans of our own and don't listen to God, we're in rebellion. Even though our plans might be cloaked with Scripture. Can the devil quote Scripture? Where did the devil quote Scripture? Where did the devil quote Scripture? That ain't it.
In the Garden of Eden.
He quoted Scripture to Jesus Christ in the temptations. He quoted the Psalms to him.
The unsaved man quotes them every day.
Amen. But the devil quoted Scripture in the Bible to Jesus. Jesus answered him in Scripture, so the next time the devil quoted Scripture to him. Jump off of him, because the angels are going to catch you as you fall, and everybody will know you're God. He said, but he quoted Scripture back to him. Don't tempt or test the Lord your God. Don't put him to the test. Okay, praise you, Lord God. So let's see here. Okay. They walk down to Egypt, which is the world, have not asked my advice. You got all kind of problems, and you go to an ungodly psychologist. Pastor, you go to the pastor, and the pastor said, oh, man, you need a professional, man. You go over to the psychologist over there. Now, what does a psychology mean? Who can tell me what psychology means? What? It is science of the soul. The Greek word is psyche, which means soul. The Latin word is psyche. A psychologist is a study of the soul, or a scientist of the soul. A psychiatrist is a doctor of the soul. And so they send them down to the world. Y'all ever know anybody do that? Y'all haven't been in any worldly churches then. Yeah? I know folks do that. Okay. They walk down to Egypt, to the world. They haven't asked my advice to strengthen themselves with the strength of Pharaoh. Pharaoh being the devil. Devil's in charge of the world. This time the Pharaoh was in charge of the world. It says, does not 1 John say the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one? 1 John 4? Okay. So they go down and he said, therefore the strength of the devil shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt, or the world, shall be your humiliation. So if you're rebellious, and you go to the world, you're going to wind up with shame and humiliation. And that's where folks in rebellion go. They're blind, and they get blinded. They can't hear God. And only when they turned with all their heart and soul and said, God, open my eyes that I can see you. And you know, these people are deceived. They think they're right. Y'all have seen this before. To be rejected or despised is a Canaanite spirit. Its mother is a Hittite. His father's an Amorite. Hittite means fear or terror, and Amorite means pride or scorner. Now, scorner, it says in Proverbs, and I can't read that, something 14. I think it's 26:14. I'm not sure. It says, a proud and haughty man, scorner, is his name. Scorner is his name. A proud man, his name is Scorner. Well, if you read about a scorner, you will find out you can't tell him anything. He's not open to correction. He will not receive correction. He walks around and causes disunity, disharmony, contention. It says, remove the scorner and contention will cease. He walks around in pride. He's got stubborn self-will, self-deception, and unteachable. Here it says the Amorite is fed by rebellion. In Nehemiah 9, it says that proud and stubborn spirits, that pride feeds stubbornness and rebellion. And rebellion feeds divination, in which you get all kind of religious spirits, and the deaf and dumb spirit. It's a religious spirit. These are people that are rebellious and proud and stubborn. You can't tell them anything. They know all the answers. They're always right. And their demons always lead them to someone that will confirm them. They'll pick out somebody who doesn't want to hurt their feelings. And they say, yeah, brother, you're right. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it just looked like something to me. Yeah, I don't know. No, you're not right. You're not wrong. Because if they wouldn't hear it if you tell them you're wrong. You don't want to argue with them. You just want to get away from that bad situation. If they want to they want some advice, the demons will only lead them to someone who's demon-possessed, who has demons, that will give them the advice they want to hear. They're familiar spirits. They're ungodly counselor. It is said that the evil imagination is an ungodly counselor. Your ungodly counselor is an evil angel. It says in Proverbs that a evil person seeks rebellion always. An evil angel shall be sent unto him. It says an evil messenger, same word as angel, the same word used when it said his distressing spirit was sent upon Saul. Was sent upon the people of, upon Abimelech and the people of, I can't remember the name of the town now. It's an evil angel, also the angel sent to kill the firstborn. And so all this, you see where religious spirits come in. Isaiah 56 says the watchmen are blind, the backbite in their rebellious house. Pride brings in rebellion. And pride also feeds self-pity. Right there in 1 Samuel chapter 22, that this pride will feed self-pity. Saul says, which of you? He said, I've given all of you vineyards and positions and money. Which of you can do that? But yet, none of you felt sorry for me and would tell me that my son had formed an alliance with David, the son of Jesse. None of you felt sorry for me. It's self-pity. It's unfair, he says. It comes out of pride, comes out of fear. Well, what kind of religious spirits do we see today that hold people into bondage? Let's name a few. Christian Science. What do y'all know about Christian Science?
Well, Christian Science is neither Christian nor scientific. It is pure spiritualism. Can people get healed with Christian Science? Can you really get healed by a Christian Science practitioner? And I mean, make your symptoms disappear. I mean, you got bad migraine headaches and you go to a Christian Science practitioner. Can they make your headaches go away? They can. Yeah. Make your arthritis go away? Yeah. A friend of mine who used to work a lot with Christian Scientists said he was trying to get someone saved. And these people could not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And he questioned them, and this lady had been healed from arthritis by a Christian Science practitioner. And so he had to renounce the healing by the Christian Science practitioner. And he could see the arthritis coming back, and then she was able to receive salvation, and God healed her, and she got healed. In the mission field, there was this man in Africa who was an elder in the church, and he got a very bad infection in his hand. And he went to the church, and they prayed for him, and they laid on, anointed him with oil, and prayed for him. The infection got worse. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said he was going to cut his arm off. Since he worked, since he did common labor, he didn't want his arm cut off, so he went to the witch doctor. And the witch doctor prayed over it, put a poultice on it, had him make some sacrifices, and his arm got healed. But the man was never able to stand in faith again. Never able to stand in faith. It completely destroyed his faith. Because when he got saved, when he got healed, a demon came into him. An antichrist spirit came into him that would keep him from standing in faith. A deaf and dumb demon, if you please. The same is true with the lady who was healed by the Christian Science practitioner. She had an antichrist spirit in her. And what's an antichrist spirit? A spirit instead of Christ. A substitute. The different types of antichrist spirits. John said that the spirit of antichrist, there are many antichrist spirits, and he said in the first century they have gone out into the world. In 1 John. Chapter 4. He says they have many antichrist spirits and they've all gone out in the world. How can you tell them apart? One who will not acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is a spirit of antichrist. Now, and so with Christian Science practitioners, you have a deaf and dumb spirit, an antichrist spirit, who will come into you and will shut you down to the gospel. Now, Christian Science practitioners are fine people, and they're the most dedicated, hard-working people you'll meet. And they really want to help folks. But they have been blinded to the truth. They are sincere, but sincerely wrong. Now, let's look at someone else. Let's look at the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. Any of y'all had these two young men or two young ladies knocking on your door and want to talk to you about Jesus? Want to talk to you about Jesus? Now, they're passing themselves off as a Christian church now. 15 years ago, young women didn't even know what a Christian was. But now they're trying to pass themselves off as just like the Methodists or the Episcopalians or the Baptists or the Pentecostals. They're just another branch of the Christian church. They worship Jesus. But they worship a strange Jesus. Well, it's another Jesus. Paul speaks of another Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, if anyone comes to you with another Jesus. Well, this is another Jesus. It's some Jesus that was on some planet some far away and came here. He's a brother. He's a younger brother of Satan, according to them. The reason Satan's mad is because he didn't get to be the Savior and Jesus did. I mean, they have very interesting theology. And they believe that if you follow the rules just right and get the temple recommend and go through the recommendations at the temple and go through all and learn all the passwords and all the secret grips,
then you're going to be a God someday. You will be elevated into godhood. And you and your wife, if you ain't going, she's on good terms with you, and you have a secret name to call her out of the grave. Now, if you're mad at her, you can leave her there. But the only people that are going to be in heaven, you see, are saved are Mormons. But you can have more than one wife in heaven, but not on this earth. But it seems like to me, you know, Brigham Young was noted for stealing wives. Seems like there's going to be some wife stealing up there. If only folks going to get up there, going to be the wives of good Mormons. They're going to be stealing each other's wives in heaven, too. God bless them. Now, we laugh about it, but it's sad. I mean, these are dedicated, hardworking, a good Mormon. They're good people. They're hardworking people. They're earning their way to heaven. Won't steal from you. Won't lie to you. Won't cheat you. But they don't know Jesus. They've got a religious spirit. When a young Mormon becomes of age, to the age of election, where he can decide, he is taken to the stake patriarch. Stake is a big group of churches. And the patriarch lays hands on him and prophesies over him. And that prophecy is taken down in writing and given to that child to guide his life. But when the prophet puts his hands on him, he imparts to him a demonic spirit that binds him to the church. And if he leaves the church, he forever feels guilty and unworthy and so forth. And he's cursed if he leaves the church. If you're praying for a Mormon, you've got to break that curse. And you got to rebuke and cast out that other Jesus spirit that comes on when this patriarch lays his hands on him. He lays his hands on for the spirit to come upon him. And when a young Mormon leaves the family, says, "That's all right, honey, but we're going to pray for the spirit to stay with you." And they have to go back and say, "I want my name taken out of the book. And I don't want anything to do with that spirit." Praise your Lord. Well, so we got Mormon. Now we got Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, any of y'all ever met in Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, what do Jehovah's Witnesses believe? They are hard-working people. They're out there earning their way to heaven, being honest, trying to keep the law, die rather than take blood, rather than have blood transfusion, they lay there and die. Let their child die. I tell you, when a mother will sit there and let her child die, y'all believe that's possible? I've gotten court orders. So it wouldn't happen. There are not many of them come to me anymore. But they believe that Jesus Christ was Michael the Archangel. I challenge they know the Bible now. I mean, those people know the Bible. They know the scriptures that they use to support their doctrine very well. They don't know the rest of it that well. And they have their own translation now that they've taken the King James and added a few words here and there to make it support their doctrine better. But you challenge them on where does it say Michael the Archangel is the brother of Jesus Christ? And they will read it to you that is Jesus Christ. They'll read the Revelations chapter 12, and they'll say they overcame. They said there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. They say the blood of the Lamb, that's Michael the Archangel. That's Jesus, Michael the Archangel. Okay. That is the scripture, but it's about four or five verses down. And they count on you not knowing Scripture that well. And they, but they are fine people, getting out selling those books every day. feel like if they, you know, and they got to work their way to heaven. If they got to work, you know, and work and please God, if they just published or gone to one more house to sell books, they'd please God that day, you know. But they quit early. The sun was just on, wasn't quite down. If they could have made just one more house, God would have been happy with them. So they go home. They get home and I should have published one more house. Isn't that sad? That's sad. They need Jesus. But they have a deaf and dumb spirit. Now, greedy people. Y'all know any greedy folks? I walked in greed for years as my God. I tell you. I'm the only one in here, huh? Okay. Believers who view godliness as a way of gain. Does that strike a chord with any of y'all? All you got to do is open, watch religious television. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. No, it must be 1 Timothy. I always get that confused. Yes, it's... God, 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Let me see what we got here. For godliness, it's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we will carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these be content. Verse 9. But those who desire to be rich. Well, I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, certainly we will carry nothing out. Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked I will depart. You know, some folks you don't see, no U-Haul it, going behind the hearse. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition or hell. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, kinds of is added by the translators. It's in, you'll notice it's in italics. That's added by the translators. Of all evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and goodness. Watchman Nee wrote a tract. And he said he had seven sure ways to go to hell. And his first one was the desire to be rich. I tell you, if your great desire of your heart is to be rich, you'll work hard at it. You will imagine it all the time. You'll sit and think about it all the time. That's all you'll think about. Ways to get there. You will compromise your standards, you'll get deceived, and you will steal. Well, you know, we're just stealing through the bank, you know. Or stealing from, you know, I didn't steal from people, I stole from the insurance company. Lie, steal from the insurance company. Yeah, man, I was hurt bad in that wreck. I can hardly move. Oh, God, I got the bad backache, and my leg won't move, and I can't work, and I need a big settlement. Y'all never know anybody do anything like that. Well, I got these bad headaches. But, doctor, I want you to fill out a letter that says my son is a chronic and severe asthmatic. Why should I fill that out? Because I need it. Because I want to get him on chronic disability from Social Security, and I get $440 tax-free till he's 18. I want you to say, my child is rebellious and has got bad learning disability and can't read, and I can't control him because I can get $440 a month tax-free from the Social Security people, disability. Now, I get all these requests all the time. And my answer is, I will send a copy of your medical chart to them, but I will not write a letter stating such a thing. Folks that want that, go to somebody else. You know, they're dishonest physicians. Would you believe that? Huh? that will do such things. I mean, they will write up these letters. They will run all these tests and everything and get charged and get paid for it and write these letters. And then it gets out on the circuit who they are. Well, that's the desire to be rich. You're a thief. What does God do with a thief? Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:11. See what that says. 12:16, I'm sorry. But it may be I did not burden you. Paul said when he came to them, he didn't burden them and ask them for money. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of any of you by those I sent you? Paul said that when I came to you, I didn't take anything from the Corinthian church. Other church supported me. I didn't ask for money because I wanted to catch you for the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:17. And he says, therefore was I planning this? Did I do it lightly, or things I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no. Look at 2:17. He says, but we are not as so many. He would, in the margin says, adultering for gain. But as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the light of God in Christ. Paul, there are people today who will peddle the word of God to you, will change it so that they can get gain. Do you know any people like that? Did you know what they want you to do, of course, is send them money so you can get a hundredfold return?
Mm-hmm.
Promise you that if you send in money, that you're going to get back a hundredfold in return. I won't go any more into that. I mean, one of my favorite hobby horses is that gospel and that prosperity gospel. I mean, it just, to me, but there's biblical foundation for it, and there's biblical truth in it. But you can take that and you can peddle it. You can adulterate it for your gain and work it into a gimmick so it becomes witchcraft. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So I say to you that the deaf and dumb spirit is a religious spirit that comes in by rebellion. It will blind your eyes so that you cannot see, and it will deaden your ears so that you can't hear. Now, God will open your eyes and ears. He will only open your eyes and ears as much as you can tolerate. If He opened our eyes 100% to see the depravity of our soul, I don't think I could take it if He showed me. This friend of mine, well, I was feeling real proud of myself once, about 15 years ago. And I thought, man, I'd gotten this walk down pretty well, you know. I thought, man, I was a righteous man before God. I had this walk down, you know, so good. And I had a spiritual vision. And God walked me through the temple and down a stairway. And He opened a door. And I looked in there, and there was this despicable scene. It was a sexual orgy. It was the most despicable thing. I almost vomited. And He looked at me and He said, that is how your righteousness appears to me. And then, you know, it says in Isaiah, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Do you know what that word filthy rag really means? It means a menstrual cloth. It means death. It means death. That's what the menstrual period signifies, death. The uterus was prepared to receive life and sustain it. And when it did not receive the life, it dies. and sheds and starts to grow again. So it's a signification of the death of the cells of a child that was not implanted. And God says, your righteous works appear to him as that menstrual cloth, a filthy rag. Now today, I want you to realize that we all have some deception in our lives. Deception has come out of pride. So deception has come out of the rebellion within us of not hearing God. How many of y'all in here can say that you miss God? You know? How many of y'all say, anybody says they ain't miss God, a liar. You know? Only Jesus Christ was completely led by the Holy Spirit. He said, God has told me what to say and how to say it. Nobody else has ever been able to make that claim. So that means you miss God because he's there talking to you and guiding you all the time. He's with you. And so today we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to touch us and to open our eyes and to open our ears. And we're going to bind this spirit of deception that is that's blinded our eyes and our ears. Let's ask God to touch our rebellion. Touch our rebellion. I'm going to say to you this. If you're not willing to humble yourself, admit that you have rebellion in your heart, and humble yourself before God and ask him to touch your rebellion, you're going to stay in your sin. You will stay right where you are, in your anger, in your rage, in your blindness. You see all those things that come out of rebellion? Well, there's rebellion. Here comes control and possessiveness. That's a witchcraft, trying to control people around you. You can do this by intimidation or manipulation. Here you got bitterness. Bitterness and rebellion come from the same Hebrew word, mara. If you got bitterness in your heart, you got rebellion by definition. And out of that comes hatred, violence, anger, unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, murder, and death. Do you have periods in which you get angry and have rage? Rage at other people's sin. God says anger is equivalent to murder. Unforgiveness, unwilling to forgive. Hold on to that thing. That's sin. Anger and rage are works of the flesh. What's the works of my flesh? I hear people brag about their flesh. Yeah, boy, I really got in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you ought to heard me. Man, I really got in the flesh with that. Galatians 5:19 says, but the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revels, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You got that in your life and you want to keep it, then you will never walk in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And there's a good chance you won't inherit the eternal kingdom if you walk in those things. And you don't want to get rid of them. You want to hold on to them. Today, we're going to talk about getting rid of them. If you humble yourself before God, he will set you free. Remember this. If you like those things and you enjoy the power it gives you or other people, and that's the way you handle your problems, then God will not deliver you from your friends. If they're your friends and you use them and you want to keep them, he will not deliver you from your friends, only your enemies. You get to keep them. The Lord Jesus Christ will not take away from you that you want to keep. But you humble yourself before God and say, God, I need you. I can't do it without you. I need you. I want you in my life. I want you to come and set me free. because I can't do it without you. And God will touch you. But he, remember this, he gives grace to the humble. But the proud, he observes from far off. He puts you far away. That's in the Psalms 105. He says, if you want grace, humble yourself. From proud, he observes the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. James and Peter put it a little differently. But it's all the same. It says, humble yourself before the Lord and submit to him, and the devil will flee from you. Cast all your cares, anxieties on me, for I care for you. But before that, he says, humble yourself before God, and he'll lift you up. For the enemy, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for who he can devour. But cast all your cares, anxieties, and fears on me, for I care for you. That means you humble yourself before God. How you humble yourself? You admit that you can't do it yourself, that he has to do it for you. If you think you're going to be able to set yourself free in your own strength, you'll walk in bondage the rest of your life. But God sets the humble free. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand up now and praise God a little bit. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Oh, God. Praise you, Lord. Am I the only one got a mouth that can praise God? Praise you, Lord. Praise your name. Oh, God, set us free, Lord. Lord, we have confessed to you, Lord, that we can do no good thing without you, Lord. That with you all things are possible. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, too hard for you. But, Lord, set us free. Set us free, Lord, that we might come before you. Oh, God, touch us this day, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say, dear Lord, I love you. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Son of God, who has been manifested in the flesh, died on the cross for my sin, was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven for my justification, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. I am a child of the living God. I have been accepted in the Beloved. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. All my sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, come this day. I humble myself before you. Touch me now, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. I confess the sins of my ancestors and my sin. Set me free, Lord. I forgive anyone who's ever hurt me, stolen from me, or done me dirty in the name of Jesus. I ask you to bless them, Lord. I confess my sins, and I ask forgiveness. Cleanse me, Lord, according to your word. Lord Jesus, I bind the spirit of the Canaanite, the spirit of the Amorite, the spirit of the Hittite. I bind rebellion, stubbornness, anger and rage, the deaf and dumb demon, deception, in the name of Jesus. I bind them and cast them out. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now in the name of Jesus. Everybody just take a deep breath now and let it go. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. All deception, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All deaf and dumb spirits, I bind you. All you religious spirits, all the python spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All the spirits of mind binding in the name of Jesus. All the mind binding spirits, all the spirits of witchcraft, mind control, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All the witchcraft spirits, all the religious spirits in the name of Jesus. All the python spirits, I bind you and I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Turn God's people loose. All anger and rage and hostility, come out in the name of Jesus. Anger and rage, I bind you. I command you to leave God's people now in Jesus' name. Come out now. Come out, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. All anger, rage, hostility, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be gone. And I speak healing and restitution in Jesus' name. Just touch them now, Lord. Let your spirit come down now, Lord. Lord, I release into these people now, Lord, your spirit of wisdom and knowledge, Lord, that the eyes of the understanding will be opened, and they will behold you, Lord, that they can behold you in your glory, that their eyes will behold you and see you, and their ears will hear you, Lord, and they will turn in this from their sin, Lord God, and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, that they will behold what is the hope of their calling and the greatness of the power that you have endued in them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, come down now, Lord. Come down in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak healing now. I speak the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I speak healing. I speak healing to the wounded spirits, Lord. I see the wounded spirits, Lord. I see the spirits, wounded spirits, people who've been wounded now. I pull out the knife of betrayal out of their back in the name of Jesus. I pull out the knife. I break all the curses spoken against them. I pull the curses out, all the evil words, all the hurt. I bind that hurt. I pull it out now in the name of Jesus. I pull out all the hurt in the name of Jesus. All the pain in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come on out. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus. All pain, come out now in the name of Jesus. All pain, all torment, tormenting spirits, I bind you and I command you to come out. Every bit of you, all you, come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Go. In the name of Jesus, all of you, go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Go. Turn him loose. Turn him loose. Turn him loose. Out. Oh, out. Push it out, brother. Push it out. Push it out. Push that thing out of there. Come on out. Out, every bit of you. Every bit out. In the name of Jesus. He's okay. He's all right. Just don't touch him. Come on out of there. Every bit of you. Every bit of you. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Push it out, brother. Push it out. Push it out. Come on out of there. Push it out of there. Push it out. Come on. Push it out. It's okay. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. He's all right. Come on out. Out. Every bit. Out. You're not going to make a display. You're just coming out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every bit of you. Out of you. Come on. Push that thing out. Push it out. Push it out. Push it out. Come on. Out. 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 Every bit of you. Leave him now, you deaf and dumb demon. Come out of there. All you deception, you spirits of deception. Come on out. All you spirits, come out. All you serpentine devils, I bind you. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the serpentine spirits, I command them to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every bit of you, all you serpentine devils, come out now in Jesus' name. Every bit of you, come out. All the serpentine spirits, all the spirits of the serpentine, all the condylema spirits, all the... In the name of Jesus Christ. Speak healing and restitution now. I speak to the
I speak to the spirits of ADHD, the spirits of dyslexia, the spirits of learning disabilities that won't let people learn, that control their mind, that have bound up their mind, that they cannot see and they cannot read, all the spirits of reading disability, all the spirits. Come out! You cannot hold these people anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ, you cannot hold them in bondage. I bind all of you. Come out now. All of you spirits of disability now. All you disability, all you learning disability spirits. Come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. All spirits of ADHD, go in the name of Jesus. All dyslexic spirits, all learning disability spirits, all attention deficit disorder, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. All spirits of memory, amnesia, all the amnesia spirits. I bind all the spirits of amnesia and I say, come out. They won't let people remember. Won't let people remember their names. Won't let every bit of you. Come out of him. Every bit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. 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 In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. All spirits of dumbness, dumb, I'm just dumb, I can't learn. I bind and break that curse that you're dumb, you won't ever be able to learn. I break that curse in Jesus' name and I speak healing now. Healing. Adam knew all that could name all the animals. In the name of Jesus, I bind those spirits of dumbness in the name of Jesus that have stolen you, that have stolen the intellect of God's people. Come out now. All dumb spirits, come out. All spirits of dumbness, all spirits of foolishness, moronic spirits. I bind the spirits of the moron, the moronic spirits, the foolish spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. Go. 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 Come on. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Everybody, lift up your hands now. Oh, Jesus. Let your spirit come down. I release that spirit of wisdom into them now, Lord. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge in the name of Jesus. I bind all the moronic spirits now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your spirit of wisdom come down. By grace, Lord. By grace. Grace. We thank you and we praise you and all God's people said. Amen. God bless the food. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.